Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nazir Daf Chof Vav. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Before we begin the shiur, before we even begin our textual introductory remarks, let us point out, since we are learning within a Daf Yomi framework, today's shiur is, of course, Daf Chavav. We will be beginning the second line from the bottom of Daf Chav Hei Amid Beis, and it might very well be that today's shiur for Daf Chav, Chav Vav, will continue until Daf Chav Zayin Amid Beis, so that in Mirtzah Hashem, our shiur for Daf Chav Zayin will then begin on Chav Zayin Amid Beis, the second line from the top. So as far as people who are keeping careful records and keeping to a very strict Daf Yomi type study, that is what we have to say. Before we go into the Gemara text itself, in the margin of our marked Gemara, Daf Chof Hei Amid Beis, we have a nosei, a topic heading. Haim ha di Omar Rabbi Yochanan Liel Reish Amid Aleph. Is it so regarding that which Rabbi Yochanan had said at the upper part of Daf Chof Hei Amid Aleph Halachu Benazir, that when you have monies that were set aside by a nazir for the purchase of his sacrifices, and the monies were not defined, the oral tradition says that even though there is chatos money mixed in, because a nazir has to bring, in addition to the shlomim and olah offering, he also brings a chatos offering, he, Rabbi Yochanan, said that, well, there's an oral tradition that it is used to buy nedavos, olah sacrifices, that the mos stumen, the undefined nazir monies, the oral tradition says, if the monies are not necessary anymore, even though there's chatos money mixed in, but since the monies were not earmarked, they weren't specified, the oral tradition says they are used for nedava for a nedava purchase. So the question here is, havi rak benazir, is that concept, that law, limited to nazir? Sheyesh mikrim noisofim shafapish demechat smurav b'mois b'chilzeis yiplu l'nedava. Are there other cases where, even though you have chatos monies mixed in, nevertheless the monies are used for nedava purchases? The Gemara again, second line from the bottom on Chof Hei Amid Beis. Omar Mar, Halacha hi benazir. We heard Rabbi Yochanan say that Mo'os Stumen are Yipulu L'Nedava as an oral tradition. The Gemara asks Vesu Leka, by Rabbi Yochanan saying it's an oral tradition by Nazir, it leaves room for thinking that maybe it's only by Nazir, not by other cases, other topics. Is that really so? V'ha Tanya. We have the following Tanaic source that continues to the third line from the top of Chof Vav Amid Aleph. It says, Ushar Chayvei Kinen Shibatara, other bird offerings. These are in the context of sacrifices whose owner cannot afford to bring an animal offering. So in certain cases, the Torah makes a provision for him to buy birds instead. And they're called Kinen. Two birds are brought. The other Chayvei Kinen Sheba Torah, the Gemara continues at the top of Chof Vav Amid Aleph, Shefrishu Mois Lekinehem. They set aside money for the purchase of their bird offerings. An example would be, as Rashi cites, a Mitzora, a person who was a Mitzora, who suffered from Tzoras, and he can't afford to bring the animal offering, so there's a provision in the Torah for him to bring a bird offering. The bird offering is made up of two birds, a chatos bird and an ola bird. So, in a case like that, they set aside money for their birds. Rotsa lahavi bohen chatos behema yavi, olas behema yavi. If after he set aside his the monies for his bird offerings, the man became wealthy and he could afford animal offerings. So he can use the bird monies, of course he'll have to add to it, to buy a chatos, to buy an ola. These are mitzora required sacrifices. Meis v'hoyu lo moi stumin. If the mitzora died and he had undefined monies, it says yiplu l'nedava. The monies are used for buying ola sacrifices. Now, here you've got the undefined monies of a mitzora that died. Is it not so that there's chatos money, potential chatos money mixed in? Did we not say that the mitzora has to bring a chatos and an ola? So what do we see? Here, this has nothing to do with nazir, and yet you have a case of chatos monies mixed in, being that the monies were not specified, these are for one and these are for the other, these monies are for the chatos, these monies are for the ola. They're undefined monies. Coming from a person that had a chatos requirement, and it says yiplu l'nedava. So that our question is, why did Rabbi Yochanan give us the sense that it's a halacha by nazir that mo'o stumin yiplu l'nedava, when you have here a case of mo'o stumin that's not nazir related, that's also yiplu l'nedava? The Gemara responds, Tana Nazir. The Tana had taught the case of Nazir, meaning when Rabbi Yochanan said Halachu ben Nazir, he didn't intend his remarks to be taken as only by a Nazir, but rather a Nazir v'chayve kinin de domulei, and other cases of people who are chayav, who are obligated to bring kinin, bird sacrifices, that are similar, just like a nazir has a chatos and an ola requirement. When someone has a bird requirement, if that individual is similar to a nazir in the sense that he is obligated to bringing those, the same law will apply. If the monies were not yet defined and they became unnecessary, the owner died, so they are yiplu l'nedava. Ula fuke meha desanya. And this idea of nazir and anything, anyone similar to nazir, is to the exclusion of the following. We have a Tanaic source. Before we read the Tanaic source, let's learn the Rashi simply as introduction to the Gemara. We'll then go over the Gemara after the Rashi. The Rashi that we're looking at is across from here, fourth narrow line, ulafuke meha desanya, and to the exclusion of that which is taught in the following, mishoya mechuyiv chatos, v'omar hare olai oilas nedava. A man that had a chatos, sin offering obligation upon him, and he also said, I want to bring an ola voluntary offering, olas nedava. Now, at this point, you have a person obligated in two sacrifices. He had a sin offering, a previous requirement for bringing a sin offering, and he also obligates himself on a voluntary basis to bring an ola. The hifrish mois, and he set aside money, v'omar elu l'chovasi, and he says, these are for my obligation. Rotze lahavi bohen chatos behema lo yavi. If he wants to use those monies to buy a chatos behema, he cannot do so. L'fishiyesh lomar shemos shem olo chalaleim. You can't use them as for your chatos because maybe the olo status is upon them. Ulohavi oilas behema yevsho shemol shem chatos ifish oison hamois v'les lehu takanta. And alternatively, as well, to use those monies in the illustration we just gave, where he said elu l'chovasi, to use them for an ola, that he can't do either, because maybe the chatos status is upon them, and in a case like that, he would have no solution. The komash malon, and what we meant when we said tona nazir and anyone similar to the nazir, Dehachi hu gabi nazir v'dadami lei dechayev b'chatos uba'ola b'bas achas. Where you have someone who became obligated in a chatas and ola simultaneously. As the example, a nazir, when he concludes his nazirus, he has an equal simultaneous chatas ola requirement. A mitzora has a chatas ola requirement simultaneously. In a case like that, we say that the monies, if they're not needed anymore, the owner died, the monies are used for nedava. But cases where the obligation did not set in simultaneously because of one incident, as we saw before, someone who had a chatas only requirement, and then he subsequently obligated himself to bring an ola. Lo amrinon hachi elo yechu liyama melach. In a case like that, where the monies were not necessary, the owner died, the undefined monies will go to the Dead Sea because of the presence of the chatas monies that are mixed in. So you see a contrast. You have two cases, two situations where you have mol stumin, and there's the chatos potential mixed in there. If the obligation for both sacrifices, the ola and the chatos, set in simultaneously, then when the monies are not necessary, we say yiplu l'nedava. If the two sacrifices did not become obligatory simultaneously, then if the monies are not needed and you have the chatos monies mixed in there, we say yechu l'yam Hamelach, not Linadoma. So now we go back to our Gemara text, and we said that when we said before that Nazir and anything similar to Nazir, the Mos Tumen Yiplu Linadoma, Lafuke Mehadasanya, Mi Shahaya Mechuyev Chatos, someone who had originally been obligated to bring a Chatos sacrifice, the Omar, and that person said, Hare Olai Oilo, I am accepting upon myself as well to bring a voluntary ola offering. Vifrishmo Yisvi Omar, and he set aside money and he declared, Hare Elu L'chovasi. And he said, I want these monies to be used for my chova. What's my chova? That which I'm obligated to bring. Well, truth is he's obligated to bring a chatas, and he's also obligated to bring an ola. He imposed upon himself an ola obligation. Well, in a case like this, if he labeled the monies, as we said, Hare Elu L'chovasi, well, Ratzo L'Avi Bohen Chatos Behema Lo Yavi, if he plans to use those monies to buy a chatos animal offering, he won't be able to do that because there might be an ola status attached to them. The word chovasi that he said, Hare Elu L'chovasi, says these are for my obligation. So to bring a chatos behema with them, he wouldn't be able to do that. Oilas behema loyavi. Likewise, if he were to use those monies to buy an ola, he wouldn't be able to do that either, because maybe there's chatos monies there's a chatos status upon those money upon those monies also. Mace v'hoyu lomo stumen, if the individual who had been a chayav a chatos and accepted upon himself an ola obligation, if he dies and he had undefined monies, yechu liyam hamelach, the monies are to be deposited in the Dead Sea, in the Salt Sea, where they will decompose. And as we said, this source is in contrast to the case of the Nazir, because in this source, the two obligations, the Chatas and Ola obligations, did not set in simultaneously. Before we continue in the Gemara text, we glance at the side. We have a Nosei / Mivneh heading, the topic heading combined with a structural note. We feature a house shape, you'll see in the Gemara itself, such a marking, and we also have Roman numerals 1 and 2. These represent Shnei Lushonos, two versions, Baravashi, Ma Hagdoro Shomois Mefuroshin. What do we mean when we say specified or earmarked monies? We've been speaking along the way already for quite a while in about Mo's Stumen versus Mo's Mefurashen. Stumen, we said, were undefined monies, and halachas, specific halachas apply to that case. And in contrast, Mo's Mefurashen earmarked monies, where different halachas apply to them. So what do we mean by those terms, though? So now, the Gemara text. You'll notice, by the way, a double underlining that highlights the expression mifurashin. I think we can say with certain, with a degree of certainty that however we define mifurashin, the that which is not stated then would constitute stumin. In other words, we're giving now the guidelines for mifurashin. Anything that's less specific would then fall under the category of undefined. If that sounds a little abstract, we'll understand it better by seeing examples. So the Gemara Omar Rav Ashi, the first house marking you see, Ha Diamris Mefurashin Lo, that which we've said that if the monies were specified, they are not going to be Nidova, Lo Tema Diomar, don't think to say it's only where he was very specific. He had a pile of money, and he then divided the pile into three parts, where he says, Elu lechatosi, the Elu lo losi, the Elu lishalmi. A Nazir has a tri-sacrificial obligation, chatos olen shlomim. So our Gemara here, Rav Ashi, in this version is saying that earmarking or specificity isn't where it's that specific, where you have three, you've divided the monies into three separate piles. Eloaf ilu omar. Even if you had one pile of money and you said, Eilu lechatosi lolosi lishlami, mefurashin hain. Even if you had the monies and you said, these are for my chatas ola and shlomim, that's also considered mifurash. It's also considered specified. Of course, then if you had said, for example, Elu lechovasi, these are for my obligation, you didn't even mention the specific kinds of sacrifices, that would be called stumen, undefined. Even though you limited the monies in a certain sense to that which you're obligated to bring as opposed to voluntary offerings, nevertheless, you didn't specify the names of the sacrifices. Let's continue in the Gemara. V'ikla diamri, another version. Amar Avashi, lo tema, don't suggest that mefurashin is only if he says, Adi Omar elu lechatosi uloi losi lishlami. Elo afilu omar elu lechayvasi harei hein kimufurashin. Even if all he said, these are for my chova, they are considered nevertheless as specified. If you look in the Rashi, you will see also he elaborates on this. But I think that for our purposes, we will be able to continue in the Gemara. Omar Rava. On the side, we have a nosei, a topic heading, Dinoi Shel Rava. Rava's law. Mos Stumin Shenifrad Mehem Shiur Demei Chatos. He had undefined monies. Again, at this point then, however you define that, however you define the undefined. Boy, that sounds a little confusing, but given a pile of unspecified or non-earmarked monies, and there became separated from those monies shiur demei chatos, the amount of money that would have been suitable for the purchase of a chatos. When you have a pile of undefined money, you realize that the money is what was to be used for a chatos, ola, and shlomim. The chatos, it represents that which is, we'll say, the most maybe problematic aspect of it, because when you have chatas monies that you don't need, they would be sent to the Yam HaMelech. when they're part of a mixture. So we already saw that you have a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, that the monies are used for nedava, which means for olah purchases. Now the issue is, they became separated from the monies, the amount that would have been suitable for buying the chatas offering. Hamoish nisharu lo yiplu l'nedava, eladinam kemefurashin. We say then that the remaining monies don't go l'nedava. The idea of going l'nedava being used for the purchase of olah sacrifices is only when the chatas monies were still mixed in. But if the amount of money suitable for the purchase of a chatas fell away, the remaining monies are then viewed as if they were specified for olah and for shlomim, and you would buy with those monies olah and shlomim sacrifices. Now the Gemara, Omar Rava, three lines from the bottom of Chof Avam Aleph. Hodi Amoran, Mos Tumen Yiplun Nedava, that which we have said till now, that the undefined monies are used collectively for the purchase of Nedava, of olah sacrifices. Im Nafla Deme Chatos Mi Beinehen Harehen Kemefurashin. If there became separated from them, from amongst those monies, the amount of money fit for buying a chatas, we don't say that the balance is used for nedava, but rather the balance is used for buying with half of them olah and with half of the money shlomim. And we might as well add, we're dealing with someone with monies that were originally to be used for a nazir. In the case of the purchase of the shlomim that we just mentioned, the accompanying loaves of bread will not take place, because once again we're dealing with someone who's not around anymore. The Nazirus is no longer around, so the loaves would not be brought. The loaves are 20 in number that are part of a real Nazir's Shlomim sacrifice. Here though we're dealing with a lapsed Nazirus. Either the owner died or the woman's vow had been absolved. We continue at the top of Amud Beis. Tanya Kavose Derava. Let's take a look before we go further in reading this source. We look at the Rashi on the top. Tanya Kavose Derava Elu Lechatosi Vashar Lishar Nazirusi Es Hashar Yavi Chetzio Leolo VeChetzio LeShlomim. You have someone that said these monies are for my chatos and the rest is for my Nazirus obligations, namely Ola and Shlomim. The Kev on the Omar, and what's the result, by the way? We say that the monies that he said for my Nazirus, he will bring with half of them an Ola and half of them Shlomim. The Kev on the Omar, Elu Lechatasi, since he defined some of the monies as being specifically for the chatos purchase, kemi she'avdu dami, or kemi she'nifredu dami. It's as if they are lost, or it's as if they became separated. Bashar havi lehu kemifroshin, and the balance is like defined monies used for their specific purposes. Even though it's a pile of money containing enough to buy an olah and shlomim, there, it's considered as if it's been specified part for Ola and part for the Shlomim. The Tosfos at the top points out that what we're going to be learning about in this source is talking about an owner that died. And there's some girsos, some versions have the issue of death specified. Now the Gemara. We say we have a Tanaic source supporting Rava's din, and it reads, Elu l'chatosi, a person said that regarding some of the monies, and he specified part of the pile of money for the chatos, v'sha'ar l'sha'ar nezirusi, and the rest of the monies are for his other nezirus sacrifices. What he might very well have done is set, pushed aside some of the monies and said these are for the chatas, and the other monies that remained in their original spot, he said these are for my Nazirus requirements. And then the man died. Demei chatos yechu liyam hamelach. The monies that he specified for the chatos, those monies are sent to the salt sea, the Dead Sea, where they will decompose. Vashar, the balance of the monies, yovi chetzio liyola v'chetzio lishlomim. Part will be brought as an ola and part as shlomim. Umoyalin bekulon v'ein moyalin b'miktsasan. If he were to take the ola and shlomim pile of money and use all of the monies for personal purposes, he would be guilty of mi'ila. Mi'ila is the name of the sin which prohibits personal benefit from something that has been sanctified. But here we have to be careful. When we speak about something been sanctified, that applies when you impose upon the item kotshe kotshim sanctity. When dealing with sacrifices, you have two levels of sanctity. Kotshe kotshim, kotshim kalim. Kotshim kalim, like a shlomim, the lower level sanctity, though one is prohibited to use it for personal purposes, it nevertheless does not result in the mi'ila sin. The mi'ila sin is not just the prohibition of benefiting from, but it states that if you do benefit from it, so you have to compensate the Beis HaMikdash, and you also have to bring a separate korban, an osho mi'ilos, for having sinned thusly. That applies, once again, to the personal benefit derived from something with kotshe kotshim status, like an ola. But something that has kotshim kalim status, like a shlomim, so mi'ila doesn't apply. And therefore, the pile of money that remained, that would have been used for the purchase of ola and shlomim, if used all of the monies for personal benefit, so you have definitely violated mi'ila. However, if you used only part of the monies for personal benefit, we can say that, well, those monies would have been used for the shlomim purchase, and shlomim doesn't have a mi'ila sin attached to them. Let's continue in the source. Eilu lo losi v'shar l'shar nezirusi. If he specified that some of the monies, and he specified them for Ola purposes, and he said the rest of the monies for my other Nazirus requirements, and then the owner died, Demei Ola, Yaviu Ola, Umalim, and the monies that he earmarked for the Ola, so use them now for an Ola purchase. Even though the owner is dead, that doesn't bother us, that doesn't restrict us from using them for an Ola purchase. And if one uses the monies for his own benefit, he's guilty of mi'ila. Vashar yiplu l'nedava. The balance. The balance, what does the balance represent? It represents shlomim and chatos. You have demei chatos that are mixed in. And as we've seen before, when you have demei chatos mixed in, the monies are used for nedava, for the purchase of public ola sacrifices. Umoalin bohen. And we're following the girsa of the Gra, and there will be a mi'ila possibility. The Gemara continues. Omar Avuna, Omar Rav. We continue, but we should point out on the side, we have a Nose Mivne heading where we feature the diamond. The diamond represents Deos Bema Nechshav Mefurosh Uma Nechshav Sosum. What is considered Mefurosh and what is considered sosum? And here, as opposed to language, as opposed to terminology, we're going to, which we discussed already, what constitutes mefurosh and what constitutes sosum. Here, we're going to refer to items, specific items, and that again might sound a little obscure. But by going into the Gemara, we'll see the actual cases. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, lo shanu ela mos. This concept of stumen, undefined, would be used for the purchase of nedava. That is true only with regard to cash. Aval behema hare hi kemifureshes. If you have animals that had not been defined, and the a person had been a nazir, he set aside animals in anticipation of them being used for his nazir sacrifices, we don't say that they are considered sosim. They're considered defined. Truth is that each animal, it's very clear what they would be used for. Three animals were set aside. Well, the male animal, for example, that will be used for an ola. An ola comes only from male animals. A female animal, that would be used for a chatos. If you have and amongst those three animals, there's a ram, a two-year-old ram, an ayel ben shnei shanim, that is used for a shlomim. Even without his having said so explicitly, it is as if it had been specified. Omar Rav Nachman, Ha di Amri, Behemo Hare Hi Kimifureshes, that which we just learned, that a behema is as if it has been specified, Lo Shanu Elo Tamimo. This is true only with regard to an animal that's blemish-free, meaning it itself could be used as a sacrifice. Avo balas mum, hare hi kistuma. Let's say you had those three animals with all of the, let's say, very specific signs to them, as we mentioned, but they became blemished. Well, you're not going to use those animals as sacrifices. A sacrifice must come from a blemish-free animal. What happens when you have a baal mum? When you have a baal mum, you sell the animals and you get cash. And with the cash, you would be expected to buy sacrifices. So these blemished animals represent, in our mind's eye, cash. And we said before that if you're dealing with cash and it hasn't been defined, hare hein kistuma, they are like the balas mum, animals are like stuman, with all of the halachas that we mentioned earlier. Avol nasko lo. Nasko is a bar of silver. If a person had set aside three silver bars, and then he died, those will have the status of mifurashin. Those three silver bars were set aside, one for the purchase of a chatas, one for an ola, one for a shlomim. So you will end up taking one of the bars and sending it to the Dead Sea and using the other two bars for the purchase of an ola and the purchase of a shlomim. Continuing in the Gemara, V'Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok Omar afilu naska. Even in the case of the three bars that he set aside, they will still have the status of stumen. And, as we said so many times already, if the owner dies, the nozir owner dies, you'll take those three bars and buy ola sacrifices. Avol, savor shel kuros lo, a pile of beams, those are considered mufurashin. The pile of beams have value, and if he had three piles of beams, of wood beams, they are considered like mifurashim. We have now a question. As far as explanations for why the Nasko or the Savar Shel Koros would be considered mifurashim, you will see in the different Meforshim the explanation for that. But for our purposes, it's all we need to do right now is operate with categories. Now, as the Gemara goes on, we mentioned there is a question. Note that we have a long question. Rav Simi Barashi raises this question. And on Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, we're going to be spilling over, as you can see from our Daf Yomi quota, as we mentioned at the beginning of today's shir. There will be then a response by Rav Popa. As far as that is concerned, I have to tell you ahead of time that there are different approaches taken by the commentaries. We'll be following what seems to be suggested by Rashi, where Rav Popa has a very long response, which will continue till the end of this year, the second line from the top of Chof Zayin Omid Beis. So now, first we can have Rav Simi raising a question, going to the bottom line, and then Rav Popa's response. Omar lei Rav Simi bar Ashi l'Rav Popa. My tamayu de Rabbonon. when he refers to the Rabbon, he's referring to the names we had above with diamonds, the Amoroyim that we had before. He asks, "My tamayu de Rabbona de Amri Mois v'lo behema v'lo naska," that Mois alone are considered sosum. They lend themselves to that category of being stumen, and not behema, like Rav said before, or not naska, like Rav Nachman said before. Mois v'lo savora. Mois are stumen and not beams that we saw in Rav Nachman Yitzchak. Elo me'ato, if you're going to follow this line of thinking that says money, yes, and not other things, so would you say mo'os v'lo oifos, not birds? In other words, if you had set aside birds for sacrificial purposes and you didn't define them, they nevertheless would be considered defined. Is that so? V'chitei mahachinamin, if you say, yeah, that's right, that birds, even without your specifying them, they're automatically specified. And when we speak about birds, think about a chatos and olav, which is standard fare, as we've learned very recently, when it comes to bird offerings. So would you say that birds by their very being are considered defined? And by the way, the issue of gender has no applicability to birds. That's just a side point. So you can't say when you look at a bird, you would know this one is as a chatas and this one as an ola. So would you say that only money has the status of being considered sosum, but birds not? And I emphasize again, even if you didn't define which bird is for the chatas and which bird you're going to use for the ola, it automatically is considered defined. Elohad yom Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda has a very well-known teaching. Ein hakinin misparshois eloi belekichas bailim I basias kohen. Birds are not labeled unless you do so at the time of lekicha, their purchase, where the owner, the client who needs the sacrifices, purchases them, or at the time that the kohen is actually processing them. But besides those specific times, if let us say the owner did not specify at the time of purchase which bird he wants for the chatas and which one he wants for the ola, those birds are considered stumen. Am I? Why should that be? Ha mois gemirin la. According to the opinions we saw above, it's the idea of mefuroshin, or I should say the idea of stumen, applies only to money, not to birds. And yet, according to Rav Chisda's teaching, birds also would be considered stumen outside of the so-called purchase time, if they were defined, or at the time that the coin actually processes them. But otherwise, birds are considered stumen. So this question that Rav Simi Barashi is posing is a question essentially on the opinions we saw before, who limited the possibility of stumen to money and did not include birds in their teachings. Omar Le, Rav Papa responds to Rav Simi Barashi. And we've marked the Gemara in accordance with Rashi with a long answer marking, which takes us to the second line from the top of Chav Zayin Amid Beis. Before we go into the Gemara text, let us glance at the side where we have a nosei, and we also indicate hemshech, a continuation of what we've been discussing. Teguvas Rav Papa Ledivrei Rav Simi. This is Rav Papa's response to Rav Simi. Lefi Rav Papa, according to Api Rashi, Yotze, what will come out is as follows. But derech klal rak mo'ol stumen. Rav Papa is, we'll say, substantiating the line of thought of the Amoroyim that we had in diamonds on Chav Vav Amid Beis. That basically only money is considered stumen. Oifos havu stumen mishum gzeres hakosef. I concede to you that ophos, that birds would be considered stumen because of a scriptural reference. Avol shar kol advarim shuzkarnu havion kemufrashin. But all other things that we've mentioned, each opinion in respectively, but as we saw according to Rav, Baal Emum would be considered behemoths that are tamimim would be considered mufurashim even though they weren't specified. Rav Nachman Yitzchok will tell you that money is considered stumin, and even bars of silver might be, but other things would not be considered stumin. So as we've said, Rav Papa is substantiating the idea that the concept of stumin is quite limited, each one according to his opinion. The fact that birds were not mentioned, it's true that birds are considered stumin, but they don't represent a difficulty to any of the opinions mentioned before. Meaning, why didn't they mention birds? Well, because birds are governed by a special pasuk referring to birds. But all the other things that were mentioned would be considered mifurashim. Ne Gemara, top line of Chof Zayin and Aleph. Omar Lay, Rav Papa says to Rav Simi, Ulitamech, according to you, that you want to say that money as being considered sosum is lav dafka, but all kinds of things could be considered as stumen. In other words, Rav Simi's thrust was by showing that birds also can be considered stumen, even though no one ever made any mention of it. It shows you that everything, unless it's very specifically defined, other things too can be considered stumen. Well, we have a Tanaic source that says, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Hevi Shalosh Behemos Velo Piresh. Nozir brought three animals and he didn't specify. He didn't say which animal is used for which sacrifice. We say, Horeuya Lechatas Tikrav Chatas, Le'oilo Tikrav Oilo, Lishlomim Tikrav Shlomim. That which is fit to be brought as a Chatas, it's brought as a Chatas. That which is to be brought as an Ola, that which is fit to be an Ola, is brought as an Ola. That which is fit to be a Shlomim, is brought as a Shlomim. What do we see? We see that we refer to behemoths as mefurashis. Well, amai ho'amris behema lav kimefureshes damya. According to you, you said that a behema is not considered specified, and yet we treat it as if it is. Omar lei. Now here, even though it says omar lei, according to the Rashi approach, it's really Rav Papa who continues speaking here. He says, you raised a question from Oifos. We see the Rav Shimon Leal source with behemoths that would seem to counter what you said. Let it be known as follows. Hossam, in the case of the birds that you asked from, there's a Gzeres HaKosuv that explains why they would be considered stumen. It says, V'lokach v'osa, Omar Rachmona. Here is, of course, a very abbreviated quote, but as we explained earlier, I b'lekichas bailim, I b'asiyas koyin. Birds are defined only at the time of purchase, and if not, they'll be considered stumen until the koyin processes them. Hachanami, so too when it comes to behemos, you can't possibly say regarding them that they would be like stumen, because we continue at the top of Omid Beis, Mi motzis amris hodein dechatas tikrav ola. Could you possibly say the animal that is fit to be as a chatos, you would think to bring it as an ola? Even you wouldn't think that. Hachan nekeva, hacha zochar. A chatos is a female animal. So if you have a female animal, it's fit to be brought as a chatos. It couldn't be brought as an ola. An ola is a male animal. So the case of behemoth is also something that's, we'll say, even though you didn't specify it, you would concede as well that they're considered as if they're specified. And just to review the thrust of Rav Papa, basically all the examples before of the respective Amoroyim saying that only Mos are considered Stumen, possibly adding something else, remain intact. Everything else would be considered Mefurash. As far as the birds are concerned, that doesn't represent a kasha. There's a Xeris HaKosuv that governs the birds. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.